Welcome to 3CR. Deacon, thank you so much for talking to us on Solidarity Breakfast. Today we're going to have a look at the Spanish elections that happened recently. Yes?
Yes, we certainly are, yes.
You're
thanks for the invitation. Yes.
That's right.
I was waiting for your question, that's all.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So what happened during these elections, because this is the second time they've had elections since December 20th last year, and again we've got a tie, so to speak. Hung parliament, isn't it?
It's a hung parliament, but it's a less hung parliament. Basically, at the December 20th elections, what happened was that there was no possible majority for government created, because you have now four parties that each have a share of the vote, and none of those parties could support a coalition with any of the others without breaking essential election commitments and losing face with their own voting base. So the basic thing that happened was that the Social Democracy made an alliance from a government to its right with this sort of new right hipster party called Citizens. But Podemos, the party to the left of the Social Democracy, which comes out of the whole Indignado movement, you know, here, they weren't going to support that, and they didn't support that. There was no other majority available. The Socialist Party wasn't going to make an alliance with the ruling People's Party, so we had to go to new elections. And the result of the new elections is an increase in support. Marginal, but definitely increase in support for the right. The balance in the country has, overall balance has gone to the right. Not hugely, but definitely. And the big expectation of the election, which was that Podemos, which had done had united with the older left force, the United Left, that they would actually be able to get past the Social Democracy and hence have the initiative for creating a left government, they didn't achieve that. And the reason they didn't achieve that was that just over 1 million voters who voted for those two parties, that's Izquierda Unida, the United Left, and Podemos, back in December, didn't vote for them this time. And so the big discussion here, which is already raging 1 week later, is why? Why did 1 million people who identify with the left parties, parties to the left of the Social Democracy, like the Labour Party, the Spanish Socialist Workers Party, why this time did they not vote for a united force? And that is the big discussion.
So let's just clarify the divisions here, or the united front here. We've got Podemos in the United Left with Together We Can. And,
that's right.
And Podemos Commitment to Valencia Country and the Tide. The three, aren't they, altogether?
Well, you've got, what you have is, it's complicated. You have United We Can, which is Unidos Podemos. And This was the united election coalition that was established for this election, because at the last election in December, Podemos did not want to run just with the United Left if there were no other forces involved. So there's three national or regional areas where there were already broader coalitions. They are in Catalonia, where I am here, where you had Together We Can, in Comú Podem, in Catalan, in Valencia, where you had Podemos Commitment, and then in Galicia, which is up in the Atlantic coast, the far northwest part of Spain, where you had a broad coalition called In Tide. And these coalitions all come out of the movement to give a political expression to the Indignado movements, which were very different from one regional part of Spain to another.
So finally, at this election,
you've got united tickets of left forces all in all the different parts of Spain. And the final piece that was set in place was this unity between the United Left and Podemos in those areas where there was nobody else.
Okay, when these three groups stood separately in December, they in total had more votes than what they got this time as a united front.
Yes, but there's more than three groups. There's four. There's Unidos Podemos, which is United We Can, and then there were the three convergences which had already existed and which were in Catalonia, Galicia and Valencia.
Okay.
So I know it's all complicated, but basically the way to see it is that there's been this pressure to get left unity in all the different parts of Spain. We could call it left or progressive unity or people's unity,
yeah,
on the basis of getting a proper presentation of the desire for change in the country that comes out of the Indignado movement, which is itself generated by the economic and political and national crisis in the country,
okay,
and institutional crisis. So it's complicated, but that's basically what it was. Here, finally, we had an election where we had a united left force to the left of social democracy. Everybody expected that this would get past the social democracy. All the polls said they would get past the social democracy, and they didn't. They didn't. So why didn't they? So
yeah, there were great expectations, weren't there?
Huge expectations.
And
the average poll had the forces to the left of the social democracy at 25%, and the social democracy at 21-22%. So that would have meant a left majority in the whole country, and it would have meant that Podemos and its allies, United Left and everybody else, would have had the initiative in calling for a left government in Spain. And if the question is if that was a real possibility, and that was what the election was about. And so the right wing went berserk. This is the Reds coming back. So you had an atmosphere like the Spanish Civil War, but without the guns.
Right.
And you had the PP saying, we are the only defence for rational politics, for human civilization, against the chaos and basically the Red Menace. That's how they posed it. And the other two establishment parties, the Socialist Party and Citizens, were forced to compete with the PP, on the People's Party, on the grounds of who could be a better red baiter and screamer about the threat of a left government, and that was what the election campaign was about.
Who could be more right than the other, yeah? That was a competition.
Who could be more right than the other, yeah, exactly.
So what actually confused me is that the seats won by the left was unchanged at 71, and yet you actually... In your article, you've written there that the results should have harvested another 17, but in effect, United We Can lost 17 seats. I found that the numbers there a bit complicating. Can you explain that?
That's because of the dodgy, not to say rigged, Spanish electoral system. The Spanish electoral system is like a Hare Clark system in Tasmania, but with uneven electorates. So that what happens is that a vote. An MP in one electorate, say a place called Soria, is elected with 35,000 votes, but an MP in Barcelona or Madrid needs 300,000 votes. So it's not one vote, one value.
Oh.
And the thing is, what it means, the thing is set up to favour the big all-Spanish parties, the PP and the PSOE. And so what that meant was this is why when there was not unity between the United Left and Podemos back in December, the United Left got nearly a million votes, over 900,000 votes, but only got two seats.
Yes.
Right? So the idea was, well, we combine Podemos and the United Left, and what that means is that we will, on the vote that was received back in December, we will get 17 extra seats because we will become we will pick up, without any change in the voting, we will pick up seats in all these areas where the vote was exhausted because the United Left was standing against Podemos. So we stand together and we should pick up 17 seats. That didn't happen.
The numbers game didn't work out. But what do you think is behind this? Because the politics of this is very confusing, because I had this notion in my head that, you know, where the right was winning across the world, really, including Trump in the US, the reason the votes didn't come out to the left is because the left wasn't presenting a viable or credible left leadership. Whereas in Spain, that's proved my assumption wrong. So the complicating factor here is, well, what do you have to do to win the people over? But what I see in Australian politics, for example, we were handing out how to vote cards in the elections yesterday. And what we found was that most people didn't even know how to vote. They have no idea what they're voting for. And it was so, interesting that people just vote because mechanically they have to vote to avoid a fine here. But over there, it's different because in Spain, people are very involved in the political discussions. They're very conscious and they know what's going on. So I found that a bit confronting, if not confusing, that this could happen in Spain, which has been very radical for a long time and very political.
But they're very different phenomena. I mean, here everything is politicized. You can't move, you can't walk into a bar without listening to a political conversation. Like, it's not like Australia at all. Nobody, in Australia, even with a growing, decline of the two-party system, you don't have the mass of people talking about politics all the time.
They hate it.
and so here everyone knows what they – I mean, let's get it in proportion. There's 25 or 30% of people who will just abstain because it's not who won't vote because it's not compulsory voting here.
Right.
So, what is the norm in Australia is still reflected here in that group of people. But he, generally speaking, you have a high level of political of identification. People know who they're going to vote for, especially on the right, and the right has an amazing capacity to get all its people out on polling day to a comic extent, like from the Catholic old people's homes, the nuns wheel out poor people who don't even know where they are and get them to vote for the PP. I mean, there's endless stories like that. And you also have this feeling of, not feeling, you know, this reality, which is people know which way they're going to vote. This time, it is quite a conscious thing. It's not like you were experiencing people. Oh, how does this work? Everybody knows how it works. Everybody knows how the system goes and it works on. You don't have to explain it. No, but the basic difference, of course, is that his is a big social and economic crisis and an institutional crisis, and the reasons why. I think, and of course this is a big debate, it's still unfolding because you've got to explain not only why there was a fall in the number of people voting to the left of the PSOE, you've got to explain why the polls didn't pick up anything. No poll picked up any of this, not even the exit polls. So what it meant was there's a lot of people who went in and voted and lied about the way they voted. It was the so-called vote of shame. And the vote of shame can be, a vote to the right, a shameful vote to the right, like, when people suddenly we found we had Pauline Hanson on our hands back in the 90s.
Oh, we have here now, don't worry.
it didn't reflect in the polling, or it reflected inadequately in the polling, or you can have a vote of shame to the left. Well, here what you had was, a lot of people had voted for Podemos in December and Izquierda in December. Of course, they supported what they were saying. They liked their ideas. They liked their freshness. They liked their anti-establishment talk, a line and message. But this time it was, do we really want a Podemos-led government? That's the issue. And the answer to that, i.e. the degree to which the vote fell, varies very much with which part of Spain you look at. So in the parts of the Spanish state where the national question is hot, leading with Catalonia, but also the Basque country, also Valencia, that vote fell by less because the big issue is how are we going to get independence or how are we going to restructure the Spanish state? And that issue affects people who are so-called middle-of-the-road voters, so-called middle-class voters. Whereas in the rest of the Spanish state, where the national question is either posed as, we've got to keep the unity of Spain, that's the PSOE and PP position, or where people are prepared to accept that there's a right to self-determination in places like in Catalonia and the Basque Country. But for them, that's not a critical question because they're not living in Catalonia and the Basque Country. Mm. There, in those areas, the vote for Izquierda Unida and Podemos combined, United We Can, fell much more, up to 20%.
Wow.
This discussion is, of course, all raging here now, and really it's going to need a lot of investigation of the actual results to get a reliable answer to it. And I just heard yesterday that Podemos is going to do a big survey of their membership, and that's a very good thing to do, because what might be true in Extremadura, in one part of Spain, will not be true in Catalonia.
Mm.
So I can't give you a sort of nice, clear, simple answer to this because there is no nice, clear, simple answer.
Hmm. The history of Spain, obviously, is very different from the history of the country, I guess, and they've got all the different opinions, different interests in Catalonia versus the other parts of Spain. So what are the overwhelming features at the moment being canvassed as a reason? Because the fact that the left is not making inroads, in the polls, says something. Because you have the broader picture, for example, the Brexit was a factor. Was it a factor in the Spanish elections? Is something to consider. And what about the refugee question? Is that a factor? How are the different parties responding to the refugee and migrant factor, which is being used as a bogeyman in a lot of the elections? And here, too, I think that's been a vote decider in some ways.
Well, just on those, I don't think if Brexit had any influence, it would have reinforced to one degree or another an already existing tendency, which was to shy away from, not to vote amongst left voters for a United We Can, for United We Can, because we really are not convinced that they are in a condition to lead a left government. There's a lot of doubt, that then goes to what was the kind of campaign they ran, et cetera, et cetera. So the factors there, Brexit is not a major factor there, I don't think. It may be revealed to be a bigger factor when they do polling, et cetera, et cetera, and when Podemos does this big polling of their membership. That's on Brexit. Also, because strangely enough, Europe was not a big factor in the campaign.
Mm, okay.
They didn't. The PP didn't make our obligations to Europe will be destroyed by a United We Can led government a campaign issue.
Right.
They just said it's the Reds coming back. They just pressed all the old primal nerves, fear and loathing campaign here. So it wasn't a very sophisticated campaign about, Spain's relation to Europe and all that sort of stuff. On refugees are not an issue here. There's obviously some anti-refugee sentiment, but it's completely different. It is the polar opposite to Northern Europe. Here you've got a movement for bringing more refugees to Spain. And a big movement, and you've got the progressive councils who already set up refugee networks and have prepared places where refugees can come and stay, and it's all being held up by the central government. So in so much as there is sentiment on the refugee issue, the sentiment is, why do those bastards in Madrid stop us from bringing deserving people from Greece and from Turkey here who are in a desperate situation and we can look after them and they don't want us to look after them? That's the refugee sentiment around refugees here.
Hmm.
And nobody campaigned, Tony Abbott style. I mean, that would just put you off the political map to the right. Not even the right campaigns like that here on the question of refugees.
Hmm. So the factors are possibly just internal, which they're examining. And what about the, because this voting is not compulsory, were there a higher number of people not voting?
There's a decline in the participation rate. I think it was about 3.5%. I don't have the stats in front of me here. But, there was a decline in the participation rate. So that's what's got to be worked out. People who voted in December but didn't vote this time, were they left-wing voters who felt nervous about, I don't really know if I really want to have a victory for United We Can? Or was it just across the board, everybody's fed up with voting and because you'd had 6 months of negotiations, frustrated negotiations over forming a new government? What was the motivations here? So everybody can make their guess, and it will be different from place to place. I mean, we got all this anecdotal evidence from people on the polling stations in Madrid, in the working class areas of Madrid, that the vote had gone down quite markedly there. That, you know, you would have there where 1,000 people had turned up to vote back in December, it was only 750 or 800 this time. And the missing people were definitely working class voters, right? And, you know, obviously there's something there you can put your finger on, because in Madrid, they lost two seats compared to what they had as United Left and Podemos back in December. But that's just Madrid, and it doesn't explain everywhere else. So, as I say, there just has to be a lot of work done on this.
So there are more discussion to see exactly what went on. But what is your feel about the United Left now? Will they stay together and continue to campaign? I mean, now it's a hung parliament. What's the way forward? Any ideas of what's going to happen?
Well, just on the first part of your question, I think it would be a shame if they didn't stay together. I mean, there's all sorts of tensions within the that coalition, which was just an electoral coalition, by the way. You know, it's all it was just to present a single ticket with a single 50-point program, platform. I think it would be a big mistake if that stopped, and it's interesting that both Pablo Iglesias, who's the general secretary of Podemos, and Alberto Garzón, who is the national coordinator of the United Left, have both said that the coalition should continue. And the reason it should continue is not even electoral, though of course it's important electorally, but it's important because it forces everybody on the left and the progressive movement to think together about what went wrong, what are we doing wrong, what do we need to do, what sort of organisation should we be building. There's so many huge questions out there that this result brings up that you need all your brain power. The last thing you need is, you know, sort of pop explanations, of which we get, you know, hundreds every day. Oh, it was because nobody wanted to vote for the communists, only, you know, so that right-wing, more moderate voters for Podemos in December the 20th disappeared because of the bringing the two formations together, which among some people in Podemos is, oh, they've just decided that's the way it is. But that's not necessarily true until you prove it's true. The question is not just about elections. It's about strengthening the social and organisational force of the left in society as a whole.
Right.
For that to happen, and for Podemos to be a much better organisation than it is at the moment, much more involving, with many more activists, many more people who know what they're doing, in my opinion, absolutely necessary. For that to happen, that has to happen with the Izquierda and United Left alongside. It has to be a joint discussion, a joint debate, and hopefully that's what we're going to see. But, you know, don't put your money on it.
Okay, that's the first part of the question. The second part is, what are you hearing in the, discussions, What's going to happen now they've got a hung parliament? Because the right wing doesn't have exactly a coalition together to form a government, has it?
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see, because the PSOE has said that they will not support a PP government.
That'll be right.
The citizens have said that they will not support a PP government if it's led by Mariano Rajoy. My opinion is, I'd take a bet on this, that those rock-solid positions will suddenly become very flexible.
Of course.
Because neither of these forces want to go to a third election. And also, what the PSOE wants to do is get the PP back into government, get into opposition themselves, and then continue the fight in opposition against United We Can. Because the real fight here is about who's going to be hegemonic on the left. And that fight has not been solved by this election result. All that happened here was that the the United We Can did not overtake the PSOE. So the PSOE, the Socialist Party, won that particular battle. They held them off. But there's no. They also lost five seats, and they are not in a good situation. And they have lost to their right because the PP picked up seats from the Socialist Party, five seats, because it was a competition about who was going to be the more right wing. Well, yes, funnily enough, who proved to be more right wing? You know, so that for the PSOE, they've got to get their left credentials back. How do they get their left credentials back? They've somehow got to get the PP back into government without paying too high a price for abstaining, which is what they will have to do for there to be a PP government. They will have to abstain on a motion to support such a government. And then they'll go into opposition. And then they can, of course, in opposition, they can prance and scream and yell and look more radical than anybody else because it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But it's what they have to do against United We Can.
Mm. Okay, on that note, Dick, maybe we should leave it there until more discussions happen in Spain and we'll get a bit more of insight about this whole scenario, so to speak. So we shall catch up with you in a couple of months or so to see the progress of discussion and what sort of government comes to power.
Thanks very much, Lali. But I'd just say to people, don't get too depressed, even if people were hoping for a much more exciting result. You know, this is the struggle continues, as somebody once said.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. All the best. Bye.
Bye.